Hey, Liz, it's great to see you today.
Great to see you.
So we were just talking about physical activity and a routine. So what were you just talking about, your routine with yoga?
My routine with yoga. So I make time every single day to do a yoga routine, whether it is even just 15 minutes, right? I usually like to do at least like 45 minutes, but even just 15 minutes, I can always make time for that. And it's funny because even ever since I stopped working per se, doing that accounting contract, I find you can get into your head even as an entrepreneur and say, okay, I still have to do this and I got to do this and I have to do this and there's no time to do the workout. And I stopped myself this summer and I said, what are you talking about? Like, wasn't this the whole point? You now have the flexibility to fit it in to your schedule whenever you want. So it's really just like the voice in your head that says you should be doing this, you should be doing that. And I have stopped shitting all over myself and just said, this is what I want to do. And the physical activity and the yoga is really what helps me keep, you know, gives me more clarity, helps me be refreshed. So I make it a point to every single day do yoga or at least do some sort of exercise, even if it's just going for a walk, because for whatever reason, I didn't do the yoga routine. So going for a walk after dinner. So I think one of the things I keep telling myself is that a big part of success is actually feeding your body and your mind with things that are healthy and that will give you more energy. And they might not necessarily be work related. So I don't always have to be thinking about my to-do list. I could just be sitting there doing nothing, or, you know, I live close to the beach and summer is slowly fleeting or quickly fleeting actually now. And I'll even tell myself, you know what, you lift it. 8-minute walk from the beach, just go to the beach for like an hour. No one's going to die because you didn't get to that item on your to-do list, you know, right now. So just taking time to enjoy those pleasures in life, I think is important, and it'll make you a better worker as well.
Lately I've been rethinking and reminding myself too, as well. Like I said, I just went on a bike run this morning. I went cycling, didn't go for a run, but I went for a bike ride this morning. And a big part of it for me really is it's not even just so that I could get back to work. But although that's a really nice aspect of it is in one sense, you want to have that time for yourself, get into your body, get into the physicality of it, get moving. I was thinking this morning that that's a nice sort of side benefit. But really for me this morning, it's like for mental health, right? Yeah. Like yesterday was just blah. I had the Monday blahs. I don't know what it was. I had not felt like that. Maybe it's the, I don't know, the position of the moon in the sky or something, but it was just like, oh, I did not want to do anything. Mondays for me is payday, but kind of like in the cash flow game, which we've played many times, it's not money coming in. It's me paying out invoices, paying payroll. So I was able to do that, you know, at least those obligations, because you know, as an entrepreneur, people depend on me and Sonia to for their livelihoods. So it's like, okay, let's make sure this is done. That is a non-negotiable. But after I did that, I'm like, I'm gonna go lay down. I feel blah. And I told Sonia that she was working from home. And then I thought, okay, just let's get this day over with. And Tuesday morning, I looked at my schedule, didn't have anything pressing, no appointments. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go for a bike run, go biking. As soon as I drop off the kids, 7:45, I'm free, enjoy the silence. All the three kids are taken care of. They're in daycare and they're in school. I'm going to go for a bike ride. And as I was biking, I was like, this is not so much for the health aspect. This is for like mental health aspect, not the physical health. The physical health is like a nice byproduct. there's a lot worse things you could do, right, while you're trying to get your head straight. But it was just really nice. And I was like, you know, this is what life is about. It's not the work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think there's, and I want to throw it back to you if this ever crossed your mind, is the idea of work-life balance, life-work balance. Mm-hmm. How do you view that? What's your philosophy, Liz Carrera, on work-life balance?
I think work-life balance is really important, and work-life balance can change depending on the month, on the week, on the day. So similar to you, actually, yesterday, it must have been the position of the moon or something. Not that I know what position the moon was in, but I was also so unmotivated. I also had a bad night's sleep the night before, but I was telling you, and I'm like, I just felt so unmotivated today, you know? And before, I used to really beat myself up over that. Like, I don't know, I've like in my head, there's this thing that if you're not being productive, then you're not accomplishing anything, right? But sometimes work-life balance is not being productive and just being present, and also showing like a little bit of self-compassion and saying, you know what, I don't really feel like doing much today. And you know what, that's okay. And thank God, you know, I didn't have to wake up to a contract job, and I had the space to kind of just take a day for myself as well. So work-life balance is also, you know, sometimes there are busier, there are times where you're more busy and you have more work involved than life involved. Let's just put it that way. And then there are other times where it's more life and less work. Like when I go away to Greece in the summer, or even this summer here in Crystal Beach, I like to slow down in the summer. So, you know, the kids are around, you know, we went to play tennis. I said, you know what, let's go out for an ice cream. Why not? Right. Like these are moments that you don't always have, especially when they're in school. So taking time to enjoy it and not feeling guilty about things that you might not, that might not seem productive. That's really though, the balance that you need in life to just enjoy, right? Mm-hmm. Here to enjoy life, not just always be doing something. And it's sometimes like in that silence, or, you know, when you're doing your bike ride or in the yoga, where you do actually get creative ideas and you have more mental clarity. So I'm sure on your many bike rides, you know, sending me notes about things that you've just thought of, right? It's like,
yeah,
you take the shower and then you're like, oh, I have this idea, right? So sometimes you need to kind of block all that noise and kind of just step out of your environment or just go do a different activity to kind of spark creativity, right? And that's something that I think even with our phones, even for kids, a lot of things that are lacking are just like being bored and just having time to think and be creative and use your imagination. And I think sometimes we don't do that enough. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tons. It could totally relate when I'm on that bike. Well, when I'm biking, mm-hmm. Inspiration will hit. And actually, sometimes I don't want it to hit, which is ironically when the creativity bubbles up and inspiration bubbles up even more. It's like, no, I don't want ideas. I just want to be present and I just want to enjoy. Like I was riding my bike today and I switched my phone to Fahrenheit now. So it was like 80, 82 degrees Fahrenheit. Fun fact though, a mental way to do this to the conversion to Celsius is you subtract 30 and then divide by 2. So what is 82 degrees Fahrenheit is approximately
26
divided by 2 is about 26. So it's about 26 thereabouts, 25 to 27 degrees Celsius, right? Mm-hmm. For Canadians. And it was a little bit more comfortable because we've just been going through a heat wave for the last couple of weeks down here in Orlando. And I was just enjoying the fact that there was literally not a single cloud in the sky in the view that I had, and looking through the trees and the palm trees. And then I bike along a little, like a lazy river kind of thing, but don't go in there because there's alligators. There really are. And just trying to be present, and even trying is probably the wrong word, but reminding myself that this is what's important, priorities, yeah. Right? It's not, I'm not pulling away and having time for this. This is at least from my, I guess, revelation. One of my revelations this morning is I'm not pulling away so that I could hit work harder.
Yeah.
It's like, screw that. No, this is why I'm here, and work and business stuff and whatever, investing, that is secondary to this. Mm-hmm. That was my big aha moment this morning, was it's like, you know what, let's put it all into perspective. We don't live to work, yeah. At least for me. And what's inspiring me right now is, the work is kind of like a necessary, not a necessary evil, but it's necessary to be able to have the lifestyle, which is what I've always been preaching with Snowbird Investor, right? Is number one, it's the lifestyle. Because you can know there's always going to be another house to flip, another rental property to acquire, another multifamily to negotiate. But that's going to be endless. You're never going to have enough, mm-hmm. right? Curious, have you ever thought in those perspectives? I know it's kind of a leading question, putting you on the spot. But, you know, your journey, have you thought of something similar like that where you've questioned, you know, what's the purpose? I know we both questioned what's the purpose of work, which is why we've left corporate world, right? Yeah. UCPA, me CFP. But then also with the entrepreneurial stuff, have you ever considered, even the entrepreneurial stuff is kind of whack sometimes, right? Yeah. Where things aren't going your way. Have you ever questioned that? Or what are your philosophy perspectives around that?
Yeah. My philosophy, even just around work or being an entrepreneur, is that really is a means to building the life that I want, right? And a means to the lifestyle. And if I'm never taking the time to enjoy, to fully be present and enjoy the lifestyle that I've created, then really what's the point of it all? Because even as an entrepreneur, you have ups and downs with that as well. But I definitely, at least more recently, what I've been thinking about is that I want to start doing things. The success will come, I feel like, if I focus on things that are more soul fulfilling rather than just the work itself. So for example, the yoga, I almost want to, I've been telling myself more recently this summer, like, what are things that you enjoy that fill you up that will make you, or that will help me become the person that I want to be, which will then not only spill over into my family life, my personal life, but also into my work life. So instead of focusing so much on the results, so much like that next deal and, you know, this property and dealing with this issue, it's like, do the things that actually bring you pleasure and that fill your soul. Go for a walk, do all that stuff. And then all the other stuff will more naturally fall into place. So I definitely think that, yeah, I'm almost telling myself, like, stop focusing so much on the work, right? Mm-hmm. And focus.
But to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Because I know the old me, or a version of an old me, would have said, yeah, but, and here it comes, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's easier for you to say that because you already have some properties under your belt. You have multiple streams of income, yeah. Big or small, whatever, but you have flexibility. You've got both feet out of corporate world right now, but what about the version of you as well that was before you met me, basically. No, just kidding. But before you came to this way of thinking, it's like you're firmly entrenched in the 9-to-5, you're CPA, you've got that, you know, the professional designation, you're earning really good money, but you're working a minimum 40 hours. Mm-hmm. Usually it's more. Yeah. Like, for a lot of people, work is the point of it all.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of justify having that time off? I don't know. That's like a really deep philosophical question. It's like,
Meet Sarah. Sarah's a successful corporate executive with a small but growing portfolio of investment properties, with the hopes of one day quitting her day job and investing in real estate full-time. However, with soaring property prices, ridiculous bidding wars, and government-mandated rent controls, Sarah is finding it nearly impossible to find good cash-flowing properties these days. On top of that, lopsided tenancy laws and super high taxes are discouraging her from adding to her real estate portfolio. Fortunately, Sarah recently joined the Snowbird Investor Club, a group of like-minded investors and business owners who have successfully expanded into Florida and applied to become a member. Through the Snowbird Investor Club's comprehensive trainings and white glove ongoing support programs, Sarah now has a bona fide cross-border property investing business and gets to choose how much or how little she works. At the same time, Sarah's family enjoys the best of what both Canada and Florida have to offer. By expanding into Florida property investing as a business, Sarah has finally achieved the ideal work-life balance that she's been chasing for so many years. Join the Snowbird Investor Club today and make your cross-border lifestyle dreams a reality.
Well, I think even when you're working like a full-time job, and if you're really happy with it, then that's great. But you might even want to ask yourself then, like, is this what is bringing me fulfillment, right? And if not, like I was saying last time, it wasn't bringing me my CPA job, my corporate job wasn't really fulfilling me. So I was slowly being creative. I mean, I still took time to reflect on it and say, how can I change this, right? It's always like, how can I do something different? And at the time, I think the dream of something different, allowing myself to first, just allowing yourself to dream that there is an alternative is in itself a big first step, right? Many people would think like, that's just, you know, like to quit your job, that's never going to happen. Like, obviously I'm going to work for the rest of my life until I'm 67 or else how am I going to ever retire? Right. So even just allowing yourself the space to even dream about things like that, that's, I think for some people, I know even for Johan at the beginning, I'd be like, but if you didn't have to work, you know, when I was doing all the personal development, if you didn't have to work and you could be doing anything in your life, what would it be? And, you know, in the early years, like a decade ago or whatever, he'd be like, well, that's not even like, why would I ever stop and dream about something like that? That would never happen. That will never happen. Right. So even when you are working, taking the time to dream about something like that, that's exciting. Like it would like excite me, right? Like reading personal development books when I first started reading them and like being introduced to like all these new different concepts. I was like, wow, it was exciting for me, right? So that in itself, taking time after my job to read a personal development book, that was almost, that's like my yoga now. Right. I mean, I still do all that stuff now, but at the beginning it was a different way of living. And, you know, rather than being scheduled all the time and working all the time. So I think there are phases that you go through, and each phase will look different. There have been many versions of me, and I'm sure, you know, a later version of me will have a different way to unplug or to reflect, but yeah, I think there's definitely something to be said for taking time to reflect and to do nothing, to just kind of sit with your thoughts. And sometimes it is just going away. You know, a lot of these things I would, even when I would be on vacation for a week, you know, I would think about how can I do this more often? And it's allowing yourself the time to dream. Like really, it's the dream that sparks some sort of emotion in you. And then it's taking the action to kind of say, okay, how can I actually make that dream into more and more of a reality?
So I think some of it has to do with generational biases, right? Like the proverbial, my parents were baby boomers, our baby boomers. And a lot of friends and acquaintances can relate when they say, oh yeah, my parents are always like, you should just get a job and be thankful for that. You could put food on the table. That's the point. Go to school, get a job, get a mortgage, pay down that mortgage, save until retirement, and just be happy with that. Yeah. And that's what we, speaking as my parents, that's what we did to be able to give you the life that you want to live. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's great, but that's no longer enough for me. Mm-hmm. Right? I want to be able to find fulfillment. And to their eyes, it'd be like, why would you want fulfillment? Like, you just got a job. That's it.
Yeah. It's about survival, not fulfillment.
Right. You don't necessarily like it. Is it giving you enough money so that you can take care of your family? And granted, there's some merit to that, sure. But then now our generation is a little bit more like, if I'm going to be doing this 40 hours a week, 50 to 52 weeks a year, then I would want to enjoy some of this, because I spend sometimes more time with my coworkers than I do with my own immediate family, which is kind of sad if you think about that. And now my younger brother and the young people these days, like in their 20s, are even more about fulfillment. Yeah. So much so that there's so many with technology now, you can be that digital nomad, as you mentioned last time. It's really non-traditional.
Yeah.
But how do you find that kind of balance in between? I like the fact that you mentioned the point that you made about allowing yourself to dream. And that reminds me of every vacation I had before coming down to Florida. I would sit there, usually on a beach, somewhere tropical, usually somewhere in the Philippines, but not always. And then being there thinking, why can't life be more like this? Mm-hmm. Like, frig, man, why is it 1 week out of the year, I get to do this? And then the rest of the year, it's like, life sucks, basically. Yeah. Not really that life sucks, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How does that fit? Like, you got to make money. I know this is something I kind of have my philosophies. I kind of know your philosophies, but I think it'd be very interesting for you to expand on how do you fit the whole needing to make money versus wanting to make money? And the money has a purpose for something else. It's all good.
So I think it's like you said, it's generational from before, right? And I think times have changed, which have given us the freedom to kind of pursue more of the dreaming. It's not just always about survival. And also the workforce has changed, like how you can work, right? Whereas with our parents, you know, it was like, you got a job, you stayed with that company for however many years, and you just stuck it out with them. Whereas now, like you're saying, like your younger brother, we can, even myself, like times have changed where, you know what, if I'm not happy with this job, there's always another company that's hiring, right? Like we have that freedom to find fulfillment even in our work by moving around. And it never felt right for me to, like, even as I was growing up and, you know, going to university, and even I did an exchange in university. I went to the Netherlands for a semester, and just even the way they approach school, I remember coming back and I was so depressed. Right? I was going to Schulich at the time. I'm like, oh my God, like school is so stressful. And like, you know, and then it was time to get a job. And I was like, I already knew I didn't want to work in a job for the next 50 years of my life. And I remember my parents just being like, what are you complaining about? This is life, like, get over it. This is how it's going to be. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, no, like there's got to be a better way. And I went and did my thing. I got my CPA and got the job at Big Four and all of that. But there was always something inside of me saying like, there's got to be a different way. And that's why I was exploring different ways that, you know, I could be an entrepreneur and all that stuff. And I think nowadays, though, we have more of that freedom to not just stay at one job for the rest of our, like, we have options, whereas our parents didn't necessarily have options. With technology, again, even now I have more options to be a digital nomad than I did 10 years ago. Even when I quit, when I went on maternity leave with my first CPA job, and I would always ask, can I work from home? And they'd always say, no, you can't work from home. My excuse would be, but when my child is sick, I'm able to work from home. But yeah, I just can't do it all the time, right? So actually, in one sense, COVID is what really helped me now be able to work from home as a CPA when I started doing my contract jobs after that, right? So the world is changing. And with technology, we have more options to find more fulfillment in our job, to leave jobs that we don't want to do, to be entrepreneurs and still live all over the world. Whereas before, I think that wasn't possible, or less and less possible. There were maybe only a few jobs that allowed you to do that. Whereas now with technology, you know, we can be having this conversation anywhere in the world. Even my CPA work, I could be doing it from anywhere in the world. So, and the even how corporations are thinking and allowing their employees to work is different, because they're realizing, you know, people nowadays want to be fulfilled, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't necessarily just want to be tied to a job and just work all the time. And as we're kind of breaking that generational thinking, mm-hmm. By the time my kids, you know, get jobs, I don't even know what kind of jobs they'll be getting, right? Like they'll probably, mm-hmm. I don't know. Who knows if they'll ever step into an office, right?
Right. And hearing what you're saying, it reminds me of one of my philosophies as well, is you get what you tolerate. And mm-hmm. that applies in so many different ways. Professionally speaking, I agree that technology these days is a lot more conducive to be able to work remotely. You could be that digital nomad. This idea I had long before I even read the 4-hour work week. But I look back at how is it that I was able to change so many different careers or why. And, you know, there was a saying I remember when I was just finishing university, Ryerson at the time, was be prepared. Somebody had said, one of the professors had said, be prepared that the average person changes careers an average of 6 times in their lifetime. And I think I've already surpassed 7 since my early 30s, and I'm only 29 right now, which is weird. But it's like you get what you tolerate. And I never, what you're saying kind of echoes that. It's like, I don't want to tolerate, I don't want to settle for just a job. Yeah. Sure, I can make lots of money. Doesn't mean that I have to be stuck in this slot to be able to do it that way. Right. Mm-hmm. There's so much more. So even before the technology, I was like, I don't want a 9-to-5 job. So what other kinds of jobs where I have more flexibility? And sort of out of necessity, it was like a sales job, potentially. I used to work at Now Magazine, sold advertisements, got to see clients. But then also, I always already knew that the ultimate in terms of flexibility and work-life balance was being your own boss, mm-hmm. right? Having your own thing, having your own little hill of beans. But it's your beans and it's your hill, which is kind of nice, right? So you get to be able to call those shots. But yeah, that's one of the messages I want to be able to share with you and anyone who might be listening, is you get what you tolerate. And it applies to the work-life balance. So take that time out for yourself, whether it's 15 minutes for yoga, or mm-hmm. it's a week-long cruise or somewhere, a dream vacation that you've saved up the whole year to be able to go to, but take that time for yourself and say, you know what? What am I tolerating that I really don't want to put up with anymore? Mm-hmm. And I think that would be huge for people. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think also for me, it's also when you take that time out for yourself, and for me in particular, it was really figuring out what was important for me. And what never sat right with me was even like, you know, working a corporate job and as a CPA working long hours, it was that my time was more valuable than the money. Like, what's the point of all the money if you can't enjoy the money, right? So you do have to find a balance with all of that. Obviously, you don't want to have all the time in the world and no money, right? So maybe at the beginning, you might have to work a little bit harder to get some money and more time. But then it's really just going back to figuring out what's important for you. And for me, my time is more important. So I was willing, me personally, I was willing to take a pay cut so that I could have more time. For example, instead of going to higher paying jobs downtown, my thing was, my big priority was finding a job close to home, even when I was working the corporate world, right? Because even close to home, when you live in York Region, traffic's still half an hour, right? I could not spend 3 hours every single day commuting back and forth. At the time I had young kids, I'm like, what? Like, what would be the point of all that, even if I were to make more money? And also, it's funny, a lot of my CPA friends, every time they'd be considering new jobs, they'd call me because I would give them the answer that not most other people would say. I'd be like, well, what do you like? Do you want to work more hours? Because yeah, you might be making 20 grand more, but if you're also working, you know, 30 hours more per week, then really you're not. And by the time it goes like to taxes, you're really not making anything like more. So I remember she always laughs.
That's huge, friends, right? Like, yeah. So let's call a spade, right? Like you probably travel in circles, or your CPA friends, my CFP friends, they're making hundreds of thousands a year. Yeah. And if you look it up at 221,000 per year in Ontario, your next dollar of income earned, 53 cents goes to the government and every other dollar after that. So what's the incentive to work harder if you're already at, you know, a $200,000 a year job? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. It's like if kind of the tongue in cheek, it's not a very nice thing to say. I'll tell you what we used to say in financial services. If you're not worried about how much taxes you're paying, you're not earning enough money. And it's kind of a slap in the face, but it's like true, right? Because these are first world problems, sure. Yeah. But there's still problems nonetheless, because we got sold a bill of goods. Like get your degree, get your designation, you'll be set for life. But nobody told you don't earn too much, because if you want to earn more money, get that promotion, whatever, get to the C-suite, you're going to end up paying half that to the government. Which is like, nobody told us that when we were in university. Like, what gives there, right? And upon that thing that you said about taking a pay cut, you know what, Liz, what I realized though too is when I quit financial services, something happened that I did not expect, which was I freed up 40 to 60 hours of my week to be able to focus on what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And I want to ask you about that as well. What was your experience like when you were finally freed and you kind of did it in phases, right? You had the corporate job, then you did some contract work, and then now you're totally out, but not necessarily discounting the fact that you could also do a corporate job, a contract. But the nice thing is you have choice. Mm-hmm. Did you find anything similar, any realization similar to that, where it's like, huh, I don't have to work 40, 60 hours for somebody else. So I'm stuck with my thoughts now. Mm-hmm. But then for me, it was like, oh my gosh, that's when all these ideas pop up and oh, I could do this as well. And I could live this kind of life, or I could do that kind of business or invest in this. What was that for you, that realization, when you had more time on your hands to focus on what you wanted?
So yeah, having more time on my hands also gave me more time to do things that I wanted to do, like yoga. Like I was, just, like I started to do, to make time for the yoga. Whereas before I'd be doing 15 minutes, now I'll do like an hour, right? But I think my struggle actually with having some of that more time was, again, going back to, if I wasn't being productive at work, now I have all this time to focus on my own stuff. I still struggle sometimes with feeling guilty that I'm not doing this, right? I should be doing this, but oh no, now I've just built up this time with spending more time with my kids in the summer and doing this. So I'm like, oh, I thought I was going to have all this free time and I'm not using it productively to do work. So I'll be honest, sometimes in my head, I battle with these thoughts thinking, you know, because I was taught to be like, go, go, go. And I am a very go, go, go person. And it's funny because that time is what I want, but I'm still maybe fighting the corporate mentality of that I always need to be something between 9 to 5, right?
So interesting. So you're still battling with some of that conditioning.
Yes, I still am. And that's why I got to tell myself, like yesterday when I didn't feel like doing anything, and you know, I told myself, like, stop feeling guilty. Like this is, you know, what you've worked hard to get to a point where you could take a day off for yourself if you really wanted to, right? So enjoy it. Like, what's the point of building this kind of lifestyle if you're just going to feel guilty about it and like beat yourself up because you're not doing these other things? So I still struggle with, I think, that conditioning. And Yeah. So it's reminding yourself, like, what is it that you truly value? And I think it's reminding yourself that it doesn't matter what society might tell you is important. Like, you have to be working all the time. I don't think that's right. And as we're growing older, you know, I'm thinking, what's really important? Like, I'll ask myself, like, is this going to matter? Like, when I'm on my deathbed, you know, like, mm-hmm. all this little stuff. And
good point.
It's just realizing, like, what would really matter, you know, when the time comes. And you never know when your time is going to come, right? And I don't have to be old. And that's why sometimes even, like, to take that trip that you want to do, or to do, you know, that bucket list item, don't wait until you retire, because you don't know, you know, when your time is going to be. Like, anything can happen. You can go out and anything can happen. So take time to enjoy life now. Right. Obviously, don't go overboard if you can't afford it or do anything like that. But take time to enjoy life now, because, you know, this is why you're here. That's really mm-hmm. what you're here and meant to do.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great point to end off today's episode. So thank you very much. Work-life balance, philosophy of where, wow, we got some pretty deep topics. So always a pleasure, Liz.
Thank you.